And we'll go ahead and get our, we'll turn the house lights on today. There you go. I'm going to wrap things up today with this series that I've been doing for a little while called Why? Because I believe it's the greatest question and the greatest answer maybe of all time. Not really sure. It's not super scientific, but I think it kind of is. And as we wrap up today, the question is why, and the answer is because. Why are we wrapping up? And I simply say because. Last couple of weeks, we've been in this why the church, and then, of course, last week was why salvation. Salvation is what the church is here for. You are not here to be entertained, although sometimes you go, hey, that was nice, but you are not here to be entertained, but the church exists for the purpose of salvation, which is bringing you to a place of encountering the living Christ in your own life. If I were to ask you a simple question, what is the result of salvation? Somebody smarter than me might say, saved? Okay, just that's the result of salvation. So today you're gonna be asked to connect a few things in your own life, but salvation is the result of being saved. But I will tell you this, salvation also does and should result in something else very, very intentional, especially for you. Here's what it is. Joy. You are such joyful people, and you are such smiling, and it is so cool. There is a result of salvation when God comes into your life and takes away the junk and fills your life with the goodness. There's got to be joy as a result of salvation. Somebody say amen. Yeah, because here's the part of this, because joy becomes a result of what God does in your life. Listen, when you've been terminally ill, when you've been diagnosed with a death sentence, and then something happens, something changes, and all of a sudden you go, God came into my life, I was diagnosed with a terminal illness, I was diagnosed with a death sentence, and that was taken away. Praise God. Now, joy is something that I think it's a popular subject, especially in our current culture. But typically, joy is associated with me, with you. Let me illustrate it in this way. There's a popular books, there's popular sermon series that are out there, but let's just throw a few of them out here. Your best life now. That's a real book, and it's not about you, it's about me. But if you bought the book, it would be about you, not about me. How about this? Become a better you. Said one sheep to the other. Okay. Come on. How about the power of positive thinking? All about you. Move ahead with possibility thinking or getting through what you're going through. Doesn't that make you feel good about you? But the whole thing is there's nothing super, super wrong with these, with the exception of this. They're making you feel better about you. And when you do this, you will feel great. You'll actually have joy. But here's the real result of that. Those are okay, but God's got a better plan. God's got a bigger plan for you. Here's what the bigger plan is. We've got to know where joy comes from. Joy doesn't come from me getting a book from some dude that fills out a stadium someplace. Joy doesn't come from that. Joy comes from the real joy giver. Now look at this, Psalm chapter 147. Verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He is, say it out, who is he? Jesus, God, he heals the broken heart. He, God, comes in and fixes those broken things in your life. And that's where real joy comes from. God is the healer and the joy giver. So if we take us off the table, if we take our wishes and our wants and our desires off the table and we go, well, where is joy? Why do we have joy? Here's where we get to write, and you get to, you do this so that you can remember it. That's what I was taught. Why joy? Here's the first place. Why joy? Because joy is our response to God. Joy is our response to God. Not simply because, oh, God's done great things for me. It's a result of just God's being God. We get to have joy because of God. Here's the real part of this. Before we get anything from God, we're commanded to give to God. Now, that the offering is one of those, but what we do in the service, in the worship service context, is this. We begin with singing. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's you. Want to practice it? Shout for joy. Shout for joy. It's all right. Yeah. Hey, listen, if this is hard in church, where do you shout for joy? I know you're like, oh, I'm embarrassed. No, everybody's doing it. Shout for joy. Come on. Yeah, there you go. Shouting for joy. He says this, all the earth. Now, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's what God does. And so we don't just say, oh, well, thanks God for fixing me. It is this. We're joyful because it is our response to God. And when we respond to God in joy, I'll spend some time in the Psalms today. Psalm 9, chapter 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So we come together. We sang a first song that says, I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my worship. Then we sing a song that says, it's not about me, but it's about you. I will give you all my worship. Psalm chapter 16. Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup, and you've made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is just an abridgment of passage scripture that helps us get to that place of being able to say, this is written by David, who says, God is my past, God is my right hand. God is my portion. And I will say to you this morning, when God is your portion, when God becomes your portion, then your response to God is an amount of joy. It's an amount of joy that is so important. So here's where then if we move it into the New Testament. Paul says this, it's not what you do, it's who you are. In Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Say that out loud. And joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God is not just a matter of us coming and going. It's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in God's Holy Spirit. Newsflash. Something's not going to go your way. So we've got some wood over here. We're going to build a bridge so you can get over it. It's just not going to go, but that's okay. Because when it doesn't go your way, can you still have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? So this message right now is joy because of one thing. It is because of salvation that happens when you say, oh God, please come into my life. And the real joy giver moves in, and there's space in your life for one God, for one thing that is most important. So the first thing is our response to God. The second thing is, why joy? Because joy becomes our response to answered prayer. Now be careful. Be really careful, because I'm going to challenge you today. How many of you have been praying for something? Pretty much all of us. And when God answers it exactly the way you wanted it, then you go, woohoo, ain't God good. But when all of a sudden your prayer didn't get answered the way you asked for it or way you thought it to be prayed to be answered, are you still saying, woohoo, ain't God good? Well, that's the tricky part, because sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers exactly the way that you think God should answer your prayer. Right? But when you trust God, the real joy giver, and when God answers prayer, and maybe his answer to prayer is not now, maybe his answer to prayer is no, but I wanted that pony. No. And maybe his answer to prayer is yes. Hannah's response to the birth of Samuel is amazing, and of course it's a great part of the story. First Samuel, there's a lot into the whole story, but Hannah's praying for this to bear a son. And the response is this, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. And when we get to that place of saying, God, I'm praying to you, I'm asking for you, I'm pleading for you, and be able to get to that place, and here's Hannah, she's just going, oh God, my heart rejoices in you. My heart is glad. My horn is lifted high. And I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture in Jeremiah. And there's a reason for it in here. And of course, you must, if you're paying attention to current culture things that are going on in our world and Jerusalem and Israel, folks, don't just gloss over that and think that those events are insignificant to what Scripture says, but to be reminded that God will restore and God is working on restoration with Israel, with Jerusalem, and with the world. And here Jeremiah's prophecy comes out here like this, and he says, hear the word of the Lord, chapter 31, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. Do I need to say that again? He who scattered them will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like well-watered garden. They will sorrow no more. Check this out, verse 13. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well, their mourning into gladness, and I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. Answered prayer. Maidens will dance, young and old men as well, and turning their mourning into gladness. When you are deep into prayer and you're seeking God and you're saying, oh God, now this is stuff that's been going on now for thousands of years. And we're seeing now, sometimes for the very first time, a significant move with Israel and Jerusalem and those parts of Scripture that's being fulfilled because of the result of thousands of years of prayer. And sometimes we pray for 5 or 10 minutes and we're like, God, are you even there? Are you hearing me? And we kind of stomp our feet a little bit like, God. And yet what God's saying is, I will answer your prayer. And when I answer your prayer, you better return to joy. Maybe that's why your prayer has not been answered. Because there's got to be an assurance that when you have answered prayer, that it's going to turn to praise into God because of joy. Anybody ever have a bad day? Anybody cause a bad day? Yeah. They're going to happen. But I would do this. Don't let Satan, the enemy, live rent-free in the confines of your heart to ruin your day. Just say, you know what? God resides there. That's his place. See you later. See you later. And allow the Lord to return your mourning into gladness. Why joy? This is the third place we're going to write. Why joy? Joy is our response because God is. This is different than the first one. And I left it open-ended because God is. Well, God is what? God is who? God is, well, what and who God is. We are giving praise, we are joyful simply because God is God. There's no other reason. And so then I ask you the question, is he? Is God God? Now, I already know God's God, but is God God to you? Or is there something else that has taken residency, if you will, in place of where God belongs? Psalm 16 again, verse 11. You've made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God, because God simply is, has made known the path of life. How many of you guys know exactly how your life is going to turn out? I don't. But I do know that God knows. And because God knows, I trust God in my life. And because I can take the hands off the wheel. Anybody drive down the road and just like take the hands off the wheel? It's super cool. Got an element of danger to it. It's probably got a lot of stupidity involved. But wouldn't it be really nice to know if you took the hands off the wheel that God supernaturally just kind of came over and took a hold of that wheel and goes, hey, you know what? We're actually getting to where we're supposed to be faster, cheaper, and more fun than when I was driving. And you're like, how can that be? All I can say is take your hand off the wheel and find out. Don't do this on the 805, and please don't mention my name. Well, Pastor Tim said to take my hands off the wheel, officer. I don't know what happened. Check the tape. I don't know. Don't do that. Bad idea. Or in that case, it's been nice knowing you. Peace out, and I'll be in prison. Come visit me. Here's what it is. Psalm 68. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. That's you. If you're righteous. That's you. You know that song, you know, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Don't sing it, please. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. So if you're happy and you know it. Okay, there's like four of you that are happy and you know it. So that's it. And then here's the rest of that song. And your life will surely show it. So there's joy that comes as a part of your life and you're happy and you know it. God's the real joy giver. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God, not in the presence of you. But before God, may they be happy and joyful. So as you're happy and joyful, your life demonstrates happiness and joy. Why? Because of God, not because of anything else. Do you know that you can't be good enough to be good enough? So at some point you just say, you know what, God, it's your deal. I rest in you. So then here's a couple of kind of what about you questions. And at some point, you know, joy does become about you. But what does your life show? If you got rent, if you've got a mortgage, you got a car payment, got insurance, you got kids, you got to eat, price of gas, milk's going up. I mean, you got all these things, and then you start worrying about your health, and then you turn the news on, and then the stock market does whatever it wants to do, and you're like doing and all these things, and at some point those things can come in, and if you're not really, really cautious, those can begin to suck joy out of your life. And it's probably a result of us looking at those things and going, But God, you can't fix that. But God, you can't take care of that. But God, you're just not big enough to take care of the things that I'm worried about. And the reality is this, God's bigger than all of those things. God's so much bigger than even the things that you're worried about. And so I want you to think about this next passage of Scripture. As Peter gives us an example now in the New Testament of why we should have joy and the best reason for joy. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, meaning God or Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Listen, your joy is not tied to, did you guys get a donut today? Wasn't that good? Well, what if I didn't get a donut today? Man, I shared mine with my wife of now 36. Glorious, wonderful, inexpressibly joyful. What was the other word I was supposed to use? Just keep going. Okay, yeah. Years. We exist for the salvation of our souls, which is, what does that mean? It's getting brought into a right place with God. And so because of that, we express our life through salvation. And because of salvation, God brings us joy. And so we're filled with joy. I want to give you a super practical application. That's something that you can go home with. Are you needing something to help you today? Are you needing to go home with something where you can just go, okay, I've got something. It meant something to me. There's this thing that I've got. What about encouragement? Do you need some encouragement today to go, okay, I can do this one more day. I can get up. I can make it another day, another week. I can do this. So Nehemiah chapter 8, but as we move to that place, of course, Nehemiah is another great Old Testament story, and it's the rebuilding, it's the building of the wall, and there's all of this incredible stuff that Nehemiah has done, and there's discouragement along the way, there's hurt and anguish along the way. There's a part of great frustration. There's also a part of great hope and future along the way. And Nehemiah's words back to his people that we can take from this is this: do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't grieve. Don't become, you know, let me paraphrase it. Don't get so bummed out. We get all sad and mopey because nobody likes sad and mopey people. Really, don't. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you want to go home with something? So when the strength that you have, that you operate every moment of your life with, when the strength that you have is because of what God has done in you. Here's why we need this. And I've thought about this last, you know, why would I end on this Nehemiah passage? Here's why we need this. Because you can't be strong enough. You can't be that strong. You can't just go, man, I'm so super strong that I can just handle anything. Because Satan, the enemy, goes, oh, dude, if I got you, you think you're strong. And so you're going to go out and operate on your own strength, and he will just pummel you. But when the joy of the Lord, when God's joy in our life becomes our strength, now you can get up in the morning and go, okay, God, you are my strength. You are my portion. I will rest in you, and I will get up because of you, and your joy gives me strength to face today. How many of you guys got something that you're facing today, tomorrow, this week? You got stuff going on. You know, you just fill it in the blanks. You got stuff going on, and you're just like, oh, dude, this is going to be a tough week. You already know it. You're prophetic in that sense, like, I know it's going to be a tough week. And I'm like, really? How do you know that, Carol? How do you know that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So you take that into this situation, whatever this situation is for you this week. All right, God, you got it. Because together, me and God, you and God, Satan's got no chance. Did you believe that? Do you believe it so much that you're willing to stand up? I'm just checking. Do you believe it so much that you're willing to stand up, that you're willing to tell somebody that you're sitting next to that I'm going to operate my life with the joy of the Lord and he's going to be my strength? And then I'm going to go act like it. Uh-oh. Okay, Juan's already out the door. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that the joy, that you are the real joy giver. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be filled with that inexpressible amount of joy. That as we trust you in our life and trust you in all things, God, that we see you working. Lord, I pray for those that are already sensing a difficult week, a bunch going on, whatever it is. I pray for each one of them that they'll look to you, they'll look back to this message, and they'll say, okay, God, help me to recognize you in my life. And as we do, Lord, I pray that you will give us that assurance that you're on the job and we can trust you in all things. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each person here. And we pray your blessing on those that are traveling, taking some time. And may this holiday weekend be safe for our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a joy-filled day.